here's a way. Here's a place of hope. And she went with him. And it was then that her nightmare began, because the very first night he said, let's go out, let's go celebrate. And they were in the disco just a short time when he walked away from her. And she watched him take money from another man, two men, and he walked out. She never saw him again. But these two men came and they took her and they locked her in an apartment and they beat her and they raped her and they starved her until she submitted to daily being out on the streets as a prostitute in the streets of Istanbul every single week, every single day of every single week. And she lived that life for 2 years before she convinced a regular customer to help her escape. And she escaped and made her way back to Moldova. But when she came back, she was totally broken. She was in no way the person that she had been before she left. And I met her in this state in a mental institution because her parents didn't know what to do with her. They couldn't deal with her. She was so hurt. She was so broken. And it was the only thing they knew what to do with her. And I realized how God had done a work in me over the past year, because, you see, we were only a few months in Moldova when I met a Swedish lady who, she was the head of an anti-trafficking group. And when she met me and heard I was a missionary in Moldova, she said, what is the church going to do? And I thought, yeah, what is the church going to do? Why isn't the church doing something? And God began to speak to me and say, not what is the church doing? What are you doing? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? And God began to work in my life, and I fought it. I didn't want to do this. I didn't think I had the qualifications. I didn't think I had what needed to be to make this happen. But God put a plan together in my mind and in my heart that we would have a place where women could come and they could live for however long it took, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4 years, and they could find healing and they could find restitution in Jesus Christ, and they could get job training or they could get education. We could help them in small businesses, whatever it takes, that they can get their life back on track. Because I knew when I sat there and I sat with Luba, and I knew when I sat with Morel, the lady, the Swedish lady, I knew that the only way they could find freedom was through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can heal them from the pain that they've suffered. And so we're very excited that we've been able to buy a home, and it's partially constructed, but we were able to buy it just before we left, and that home will be a place, a house of hope, and a place where women can come in and find restitution and find healing in their lives.
You know, Nancy said the key word, somebody ought to do something. And we say that so often, don't we? Ah, you walk into the church building. Boy, this thing is loose. You know, somebody ought to do something about this. You know, that door handle doesn't work right. Somebody, you know, the pastor ought to do something about those people that left the church. You know, that's the youth pastor, the kids pastor. I mean, it's always somebody. And we use that so often, but really what God is saying, hopefully to you too, quit saying somebody. How about you be the somebody? You do it. I mean, just step up and do it. And we don't have any, this is one of those things where there's no qualifications pastoring in Central Montana or youth pastoring in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. I mean, we didn't run across any of this kind of training, but somebody has to do something. And we are on the back end of it. Nancy didn't mention, but Moldova is the highest per capita source country for girls who are trafficked into prostitution. And these are your 16-year-old daughters. I mean, these are your 18-year-old granddaughters. I want you to think that. And the best way I can describe it is my definition of hell has never gone to the depths of what Luba had to go through. You know, I could never think of hell being that bad and what she had to go through. And so we really pray that God allow us somehow. We're going to create on the back end preventative, yes, and also restorative, because they are modern day lepers in Moldova. Nobody wants to touch them. So we are passionate about it, and I can go from the extremes of anger to depression to everything in between, but you have to just grab on and say, Lord, let us use to restore the people from Luba, the Olgas, the Natashas. They're all over the place in Moldova. We want to bring hope in the future, and only Jesus Christ can. So that's one of the ways that we want to build a church. And we're going to build a church in that place basically by having a safe place, a warm bed, and giving somebody a hope in a future. We are going to build the church that way. There's other ways we build the church. In fact, a few years ago, there was a Moldovan gal named Svetlana working in Greece, and she became terminally ill. And so she just said, you know, I'm going to die. I might as well go back home to Moldova where I can die with my friends. And so she started going and coming back to Moldova. And on the way, somehow, somebody gave her a Bible. I don't know what kind. I don't know what. I think probably Romanian, because I know that'd be her language. And Svetlana had this Bible, and she started reading it. First time she ever had a Bible. She read it. Wow, this is amazing. And she gets home, and she reads it. Well, I need this. You know, she was raised Orthodox, went to church once a year, and had never read a Bible or seen anything about this. And she said, I need this Jesus Christ. And so she confessed with her mouth, believed in her heart, and she was saved in her house. And her neighbors started coming over, and they started talking to her. And pretty soon, they go, well, we want that too. And they got saved. And now I'm going to fast forward. Now there's 15 or 20 people in this little village in the north part of Moldova. And they're all saved. They get to Acts chapter 2, and then the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, we need that. So they prayed for one another. Every one of them was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I drove through the village, and here's why I know it, because just about a year or two ago, Victor told me the story. He's a friend of mine, and he said, this is the church that started on its own, and he told me the story, because he said about 3-4 years ago, we had somebody knock on the door and say, hey, you guys should go down to that village. It's kind of like a Pentecostal church down there. So they went, knocked on the door, and the people said, praise God, we've been praying that God would send us a pastor. Now, Victor used the phrase, the church that started on its own. There was no evangelist, there was no television, you know, show. All there was the Bible. Somebody handed some kind of Bible to this person. And a church started. But it wasn't a church that started on its own. It started because somebody cared enough to hand over the Word of God. And that Bible, that Scripture changed that. Now, I wish it was that easy all the time, right? We'd get a big airplane, fly over Moldova, fling it out the window, okay? And then, all right, now we can go home and go walleye fishing. Okay, sounds great, but, you know, it doesn't work that way usually. God usually has to use us. And whatever fashion we use what God has placed in our hand to build the church. That's really what it's about. We've been doing some Convoy of Hope outreaches. And what that is like a day of hope, food distribution. And we did this one this last April, April 8th, in the city of Ungen. George is a great young pastor, great young leader, 4 years old. That's the church I said it was about 150 meeting in a little few chairs like this. And they're packed into this place. And we did the outreach, and we planned for 1,000, 2,000 people. We sent invitations to 1,000. And it was beautiful spring weather, and we were preparing bagged groceries. And it was beautiful spring weather, except until that day. And then it was like this. You know, it was rainy and cold and miserable. Not much warmer than this. Drizzle coming down, and I'm going, oh, no. What do you do? What do you do if you plan a party and nobody comes? You know, that type of feeling. You know, and what are we going to do? But at 8 o'clock in the morning, really almost 2 hours before the starting time, there was already 300 people waiting in line. And a lot of the old grandmas, the babushki, you know, with their bags, and elderly people and kids are all waiting in line. Because the elderly people make $30 a month for a pension. That's it. And, you know, it takes $80 just to survive. That's the survival level. When a pound of chicken is $1 or $2, and, you know, a liter of juice is $1, you can imagine how far $30 a month goes. And so it's important for them, for the free groceries. And we opened the gates, and over 1,000 people, 1,200 people came through that day. And they got free groceries. We did free haircuts. That was a winner. You know, everybody lined up for free haircuts. We had free lunches, kids' games. We had guys doing balloon animals and candy. And the whole thing was so wonderful. Now, after we tore this all down, every person heard the gospel. And scores of people responded. They just, yes, we want to hear. We want that. Now, some of the old grandmas would take the groceries, go hide them, and come back in line again. But, you know, that's kind of important for this. They needed some more groceries, but that's okay. Lord bless them. We just wanted to bless them. And we were given back to them. By the way, grandma in Moldova, that's a term of endearment, okay? It's not an insulting term. We always say babushka. And so we had torn everything down, tore down the fences, torn down the gates, packed it up. And at the very end, there was a young man named Igor and a friend. They were wrapping up the last tent, putting it in the van. And a man walks up to him. He says, what was going on here today? And Igor, when I do the training, when we do the preparation, there's one phrase we use a lot, and it's a very famous phrase. Everywhere you go, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. St. Francis of Assisi. And we shared this. We say it over and over again. And so Igor thinks, he said, we're from the church over here, Lumina Lumi, Light of the World, and we are just here just to give back to our community. We just want to bless and show God's love to our community. And the man said, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen anybody get free lunches and free groceries and free haircuts and free kids' games. I have never seen anything like that before. Then he said these words. He says, you have caused me to remember something I had forgotten. God. See, you preach the gospel sometimes with a bag of groceries given in the name of the Lord. And it is a blessing, you know, just to give to somebody who doesn't have something. And you give it in the name of the Lord. Sometimes you preach the gospel when you hand somebody the word of God. And you just hand that over and say, here's something for you. Sometimes you preach the gospel when you have a place for Luba or Olga or Natasha, a safe place where they can be healed and restored and they can find freedom from their past. See, you preach the gospel not always by reciting John 3:16, but you use it in whatever way you can. And you always share it. We were in Moldova our first year in Moldova, every morning we studied language. I mean, obviously I didn't know Russian. My wife and the girls didn't know Romanian. So we studied language every morning. And I would go take 3 hours worth of Russian. Nancy would take 3 hours worth of Romanian. Then we'd meet at this little cafe afterwards. And her and I would just to kind of study for about 30 minutes. And I mean, to be real honest, after 3 hours of Russian language, you need massive amounts of caffeine just to kind of get your brain started again. So I was trying to learn everything, say it backwards. And so we would sit there and drink coffee and wake up. And we'd practice our bad Russian, bad Romanian, improving Russian, improving Romanian. And we got to know some of the waiters and waitresses down there. Nastya was one of them. Now, about a year and a half into our, 2 years into our time in Moldova, Nancy and I were having this discussion. We said, you know, it's really hard because you're preaching in these churches, you're doing teaching, you're doing training, you're doing working with all these Christians. You know, we need some non-Christians in our life. We need some good pagans. I mean, that's what we begin to pray. God, give us some pagans in our life. Now, Moldova is a very open, I mean, they open country, but in a lot of ways, it's not very open. They don't open their lives to you. I mean, it was hard to kind of break through into neighbors. We lived in our apartment for almost a year before we got to know the lady who lived right next door, you know, before she'd kind of talk to us. So we were praying, God, give us some pagans. And I remember very, very clearly one morning when Nancy mentioned that. She said, you know, I just was praying again. God, give us some non-Christian friends in our life. Well, later that day, about 3 hours later, we decided to take a little break and let's go down to this old cafe we used to meet at and take the kids down for a dessert and a coffee. And so we went down. Not the kids didn't get the coffee. I know they're Finlanders, but they didn't get it. We got the coffee. The kids just got the dessert. So we went down there and got our desserts and got our cappuccino, and we were sitting there drinking, and Nastya comes up to us, and she began to visit some. And then Nastya says to Nancy, you know, I'm taking English lessons, and it's really hard, and I just want to know if it'd be possible to just meet together every once in a while, just to talk in English. Nancy's first thought was, let's see, what was that, 3 hours later, and the prayer already answered, yes, of course, you know, I'd love to do it. And so Nastya began to come over to our house, and they talked in English, and Nancy a little bit in Romanian, and after a while, it was less English and more Romanian and Russian, and then less English and more Romanian. And pretty soon it wasn't about English at all. It was about the friendship. And we had invited Nastya to come to a church service with us, and she was so interested, so passionate. She's on the journey. Now about 3 days or 2 days before we left Moldova to come to America, Nastya's boyfriend was tragically killed, hit by a car. He was bicycling. And Nancy, we happened to know it because Nancy was going to call Nastya just to visit with her before we left. And Nastya was at an all-night vigil at the church, you know, just kind of praying, no real peace, no confidence and assurance of God, just hoping somehow. And she said, I really want to see you. So she came over the last day before we left, about it was that afternoon, the last person we saw really in Moldova. And she shared with, and we talked to her once again. I prayed with her, I shared with her about the peace of God. We talked to her about, you know, what the peace that only God can give. And really how she could place her trust and find a security in Jesus Christ. And we prayed for her. And then she said these words afterwards. She said, please hurry back. I'm closer to God because of you. And that stuck in my head. I thought, what do we do? I mean, all we were was friends. Oh, Nancy gave her a Bible. I mean, after she came to church service with us, Nancy gave her a Bible. And she said, thank you. She kissed it because she had never had a Bible before. And it was so... it was so neat to have this great Romanian Bible. But really, all we gave her was friendship. That's all it was. We were a friend. And we have talked and communicated since then. Because we are believing that Nastya will find the peace of Jesus Christ. That she will find him as her Savior. But sometimes all you do is preach the gospel by being a friend. There's a passage of scripture that challenges me. It's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's when Paul says in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." And it's just those five words that stick in my head. For Christ's love compels us. There's a lot of different motivations we have. I mean, we have, hey, this is the time of year. Hey, I'm motivated when I stand in front of the mirror. All right, time to lose weight, right? Everybody, make our New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight, you know. I'm going to exercise more. We find motivations like that. I have a motivation, probably many of you do too. You know, when I get up in the morning, first of all, I brush my teeth because I can't walk around with that in my, you know, smell. But, I, you know, the next thing is coffee. I mean, I have two things every morning. Brush my teeth, coffee. And I am very motivated by some little strange thing called caffeine. Anybody here in that same boat besides me? All right. We're in the right country. I grew up calling that Norwegian gasoline, right? I mean, that you got to start the motor with that cup of it in the morning. I'm motivated. We're motivated by guilt sometimes. Oh, we see this, you know, starving picture in Africa. You know, that kind of, we always make that joke. Okay, starving, and we get motivated. But this motivation is what strikes me. For Christ's love compels me. See, I'm not always comfortable in Moldova. I'm not always comfortable with all the food. I like just about every food in Moldova. I don't like rachituri or chaladiats. You know, that's not my favorite food. That is chicken fat jello. Okay, that's really what it is. That's what I call it anyway, chicken fat jello. And it's just not my kind of thing, okay? You know, it's not my cup of tea. You know, I don't even like chai, which is tea. I mean, I like coffee, you know? So, I'm not motivated by everything. I'm not motivated by when I get out to the village and you just, you know, just squatty potties. You know, that is not always the most motivating thing. But Moldova is home, and we are all homesick. I mean, I don't dare look at the pictures because I get homesick for Moldova. Because that's where our calling is. That's our country. We want to see God do something there. And we want to be a part of what God is going to do. I always say, I just want to be in Moldova when that country changes. Because I'm going to see God change our country. And so when I look at Christ's love compels me. That's what compels us to quit saying, somebody ought to do it. And we do it. That compels us to go across the street and become a friend. You know, get past our uncomfortableness. Get past our lack of all our excuses. I mean, I've got millions of excuses. I had excuses before that I didn't want to be called into missions. I've got excuses. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not educated. I can't do it. I mean, we can do all kinds of excuses. God isn't asking for that. All God asks is, what do you have? And I really think that is with passion, what I challenge you with. Use what God has given you to build the church. Use what God has given you to build the church. If it's a Bible in your hand, if it's cookies you're going to bring to a neighbor, if it's a friendship, you realize every person here, God has given you, relationships, neighbors, coworkers. Nobody else has that mix. Only you. You're the only opportunity. That is your unique sphere of ministry. Use what God has given you. Use your talents. Use your talents in the church. Use your talents outside the church. Use your talents. Use your finances. Use your resources. Use whatever God has given you to build the church. Sometimes we get so caught up in our excuses why we can't. And my vow, and maybe my New Year's resolution, as I sat down this morning and ready in my journal, I was just thinking through, what are my goals for next year? Really, I'm not going to ask. You know, some people could write out a check for $10. Some can write it out for $10,000. That God doesn't really care about how many zeros. God just says, use what it is. Some of you can't sing hardly anything. And some can sing so good that I just, covetousness, you know, and envy overwhelms me when I watch these musicians up here. But use what God has given you. God is not asking every person to stand up here and play the guitar, which would be really kind of odd to come to a church and see every person standing up here playing a guitar. But if God has given you that gift, use it. If you can work with kids, if you can work with youth, don't make excuses. Just use what God has given you to build a church. Because God has called this church in this area to touch this community. I mean, I drive through these neighborhoods, which has changed tremendously since, you know, the few years that I've driven through these communities. There's housing developments where there were fields and, you know, there's shopping malls and all those kind of things. It's changed. And God has brought so many people within the area of influence of this church. And God has called you to build the church right here, right in Maple Grove. To build the church in the neighborhoods around, in your homes, when you gather together in your life groups. God has called you to build the church. God has called you to build the church in America by reaching out. And whether it's St. Michael's, whether it's across Minnesota, whether it's in another state, God has called you to build the church. And God has called us to build a church in Moldova. Maybe it is financially. Maybe it is physically. You know, not every person can go to Moldova, but every person is called to build the church and everywhere around the world. Use what God has given you to build the church. Jesus Christ, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be upon this church right now. That instead of any limitations that they may see, you may just give them your vision and your vision of possibilities. Lord, I pray that they may see with clarity what you've given them. They may see their abilities. They may see their resources. They may see their friends and their neighbors. And they may do what you have called them to do. To build the church. And Lord, I do pray your blessing will be upon this church right now. I do pray that its greatest years of harvest will be in the future. That these seats will be filled, not because we care about numbers whatsoever. But Lord, there's so many desperately hurting people within this community that need to know you. Lord, we see them every day. They do not have the hope of God. They do not have the peace of God. And Jesus Christ, I pray that you may use every person here to build your church. And whatever gifts and talents and resources you've given them, I pray your blessing now be upon it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to close with one last video, Pastor. Yeah, he's going to run it through now. Thanks.
Your faithfulness, oh God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. Remember you.
How would you like it if God called you to change a country? That would be a tough job, wouldn't it? Tough job. But that's what Andy and Nancy and the girls have been called to do. Come back up here with me, will you, Andy, Nancy? Come up here. We want to pray for you. I want everybody in the church that's kin to these people come up here with us. You know, so I mean, all the relatives, all the distant relatives, all the in-laws and the outlaws, and you know, we're going to pray for them. Ushers, I'd like for you to get our offering plates, and some of you who are kin to them have to get offering plates, but that's all right. And we're going to take a special gift this morning. They are missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, but they have a cash requirement to raise in their itineration over the next 6 months they have left, and we're going to help with that. This will go for some of the things you've heard about this morning, and I know that on their heart is this help that's going to these girls that are being rescued out of trafficking and prostitution and other kinds of missions and ministries that they have. And so this morning we want to pray for that as we take this offering. And where's Theron? Theron's one of our deacons. Theron, you're going to pray for them this morning, and then we're going to pass the offering plates.
Father, we thank you so much that we have that you have just blessed Andy and Nancy with just your spirit and with your anointing and with the gifts that you've given them to take to Moldova. And we thank you, God, that they've heard your call and they've responded in obedience, Lord. And help each one of us, Lord, as we were ministered to this morning, to respond in obedience to your call wherever we're at with the talents that we have. Father, we pray, God, for their protection, and we pray for the house of hope, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you would just continue to pour in, God, your love and your spirit and the finances, Lord, to raise us up. Continue, God, to change this country. Continue, God, as I was thinking today as Andy ministered, God, cause Moldova to become a gem, to become a gem of the old Soviet Union. Cause them to find something of hope and find something of resource that they can differentiate them. But God, let it start in the churches. Let it start in the hearts of people who love you with all of their heart, God. God, give them creative and inventive ideas. But God, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to minister through Nancy and through Andy and through the girls, Lord. Continue to cover them and protect them. We thank you, God, that they're part of this congregation and part of this church. And God, we just continue in our hearts and in our prayers, in our finances, to send them forth. So God, we ask that you would bless, Lord, bless the offering this morning. And God, I pray that each one of us would realize that we have a small portion in their ministry and their reward, because we are joining together with them in prayer, and we're joining together with them in our finances to help them reach to the furthest reaches of the globe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. We'll pass the offering plates now. Prayer team, would you be coming? Praise team, would you be coming? And we're going to close out our service just as soon as we finish our offering this morning. Thank you, Andy, for the challenge. One brick at a time, right? That's what we want to do. Don't forget our time tonight. We'll be here about 10, if you can stay awake. And we'll pray in the new year. You got a word, or are you looking at me for something? Prayer team. Oh, okay. I thought I forgot to plug something in, Rich. I don't know. Come on, Vicky. Prayer team, come up. If you need to pray with someone this morning, we have people here willing to pray with you. Maybe you just need to ask a question about faith in Christ. We'd be happy to answer that question for you. Any of these people will. So let's stand together as soon as the offering plate's finished passing you. We've started singing as a conclusion to our services, and we're going to continue to do that. You don't have to sing the whole song. You can go when you want to, or you can stand here and sing. The Bible says the disciples sang a hymn and went out. And so we're going to be doing that this morning again. We're glad you came. Come again. Praise God. Lord, go with us today as we close out 2006. Lord, may we start fresh 2007. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great is your faithfulness. You never change, you never fail, oh God. True are your promises, true are your promises. You never change, you never fail, oh God. So we raise up holy hands, praise the Holy One, who was and is to come. Yeah, we raise up holy hands, praise the Holy One, who was and is to come. Wide is your love and grace, wide is your love and grace. You never change, you never fail, oh God. Wide is your love.